This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. The Netflix movie Cuties is a small French coming-of-age film about a tween girl from a religiously conservative French Senegalese household steeped in piety and modesty, but also in turmoil over the father taking a second wife. The protagonist, Ami, is transfixed by a group of mean girls who are preparing for a dance competition with clothing and dance moves that flaunt their sexuality, even though, as we learn, they don't even really know what sex is. This is them not quite getting the function of a condom. The Cuties, as they call themselves, are asserting their fledgling maturity, showing off for older boys and craving popularity. The film is punctuated with dance scenes that get increasingly sexual, including the butt undulation move called twerking. That's disturbing to watch. Indeed, the film is about how hard it is to witness young girls sexualize themselves to feel relevant in the culture. That's what it's about anyway, if you're not swept up in the Cuties panic, which has ridden a wave of mainly right-wing accusations that the film is child pornography and a threat to our society and our children.
Senator Ted Cruz wants the Department of Justice to investigate Netflix over the film Cuties. He wants the DOJ to examine whether Netflix or the filmmakers broke federal laws against the production and distribution of child pornography.
To Kate Nibbs, a senior writer at Wired, the brouhaha isn't a debate about art. It has all the earmarks of an incendiary and violent political harassment campaign, such as we have seen before. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, what do you think of the movie?
I saw Cuties as part of an established genre. I call it the troubled girl canon. This is movies like 13, which came out in 2003. It's a really fantastic film that stars Evan Rachel Wood as a 13-year-old girl who's really going through something and acting out. There's a wonderful movie by the British filmmaker Andrea Arnold called Fish Tank, which also features a young girl growing up in public housing who is obsessed with a kind of risque dance competition. So this movie didn't come out of nowhere. It's definitely in conversation with other films. But there's only a handful of them. Preteens' burgeoning sexuality is not a topic that people are rushing out to make movies about necessarily because it's so delicate. And if you get it wrong, you get accused of creating child pornography. And if you get it right, you can be accused of creating child pornography depending on the circumstances, which is what we're seeing here. This is a very tricky subject. But it's also a really important subject to be making art about. One of the things Cuties did so well was that it showed that someone as young as 11 is consuming really explicit content and putting the pieces together that society encourages women to be hypersexual.
I watched the film, and it's sweet because, you know, kids trying to be adult, and it's upsetting for the very same reason. It is, as you say, just hard to watch preteens dance so explicitly and to flirt in an overtly sexual way with much older boys. And thank God, in the movie, being laughed off for that. None of this is titillating or designed to be titillating. It's about the scary combination of pubescence and sexual culture. Some critics, including those presumed to be on the left, question whether the director, Maimouna Doucouré, flew a little too close to the sun.
Some critics have brought up the cinematography and the way that it really lingers on the girls' bodies and whether that was really necessary. I think that's a very legitimate conversation that we should be having. Doucouré did make the choice to make these scenes basically as upsetting as possible. You just want to run over to these girls and throw a blanket over them and hug them and tell them to go home and jump rope.
These shots were tough, but they weren't leering, unless you consider Netflix's marketing. Holy hell.
Yes, so Netflix's marketing did an enormous disservice to this film because it took shots of these girls that, in context, were meant to provoke disgust and alarm and made it look like a leering, exploitative film about sexy child dancers. And what on earth is worse than that?
However, you believe that the controversy has ultimately little to do with twerking and everything to do with political opportunism, torn right out of the alt-right playbook. How so?
I was really reminded of Gamergate. And Gamergate was an online movement that started in 2014. And Gamergate supporters would tell you that it's about ethics and gaming journalism. The spark that lit the match that became Gamergate was a sort of very small-scale controversy about a video game journalist who had been in a relationship with a video game creator. And it sort of exploded into this situation where a wide swath of women in the gaming world were getting harassed online. They were getting death threats. The playbook that Gamergate established for contemporary grievance politics has three main prongs. So first is death threats, general harassment, having a wide variety of people online swarm another person and threaten them. The second main tactic is calling for boycotts. And, you know, we've seen them use the hashtag cancel Netflix. They would get so many people to call for a boycott that sometimes it was effective. Like, they would convince advertisers to pull their advertising from outlets. And then the third prong is review bombing, inundating IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes with negative reviews to taint the reputation. With Cuties, we've seen all three of those tactics used.
And we should remember that Gamergate is what spawned the alt-right, which began with misogynist gamers, but within a couple of years had coalesced with white supremacists, Christian nationalists, violent incels. Now, these days, we're in the midst of this QAnon insanity with its bizarre claims of pedophile Democrats and deep state operatives pulling the strings for all the evil befalling the country and the world. And they have latched onto this Save the Children hashtag, which imagines a non-existent marketplace for countless child sex slaves. How much has the QAnon cohort fed this cuties panic?
I think that QAnon acted as an accelerant here. I think there probably would have still been a scandal because of how horrible the Netflix marketing materials were. But QAnon has been very savvy in the way that it's used hashtags like Save the Children to amplify the message that this is a horrible film that needs to be banned.
I want to talk about Ted Cruz, that noted critic of cancel culture, who is demanding that we all cancel Netflix. And this is because, as he bravely asserts, child porn is wrong. Quite a rebuke, I guess, for the sprawling pro-child porn community. You got to wonder what weaponizing the obvious and the Save the Children hashtag and this panic itself is trying to accomplish. Getting back to Gamergate, you think that that nightmare offers the answer of what's really afoot here?
Yes. So the people who were really pushing the narrative that Gamergate was about ethics and gaming journalism did something very smart. They framed the conversation so that Gamergate was the brave truth teller who was letting the world know that the media was biased. They framed the conversation so that they were on the side of the people. The biased media was the opponent. And that framework was very successful because there is a lack of trust in the media right now. They chose a target that was easy to hate. The conversation around cuties is echoing Gamergate in the way that opponents of cuties have framed the conversation so that you either have to be pro-child pornography, which no one reasonable is, or anti-cuties. That was a masterstroke. The fact that this Gamergate-style framing has taken hold is one of the reasons why this has really blown up. It's so disingenuous, and it's so unfair to the filmmaker, and it really reiterates how degraded the discourse has become, that instead of having nuanced conversations about the actual contents of a movie, the conversation is just this trap for people to fall into. Like, after I wrote this piece, I spent the next 24 hours getting called a pedophile by like hundreds of people online, which I expected, but it never feels good.
One way of looking at Gamergate is that a bunch of women resenting gamers found that secret sauce. They learned how to weaponize a hateful grievance into a powerful and sometimes violent movement. Is there any hope for an antidote for online cultural and political warfare?
I'm a pretty optimistic person. I don't see these conversations going away unless the whole dynamics of the internet change. However, with Cuties, I have been heartened by the way the conversation seems to be mellowing out once people have seen the movie. While I was writing about it, I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and reading through the really negative reviews that people had left as part of the review bombing tactic that I was talking about earlier. And when I started writing, the audience approval rating was 3%. And then once more people had started watching the movie, the audience approval rating went up. It made me hopeful that if people see this film, they will see that it's not child pornography. Maybe they can take that lesson with them, remember it the next time there's a controversy like this. Like, if there's anything good that comes out of the Cuties scandal, it's that it's sort of like a crash course in media literacy and a reminder to step back for a second and look at the thing that's being discussed rather than the voices doing the discussing.
Kate, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kate Nibbs is a senior writer covering culture at Wired.com.